The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
We are travelling through Ephesians from Ephesians 6, 1 to 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favouritism with him. And we welcome Kylie.
Have you ever woken up feeling sore? You wonder what you've done over the previous days to make you feel so tight. Well, the human body is a complex system of levers and pulleys, where your bones act as levers and your muscles work as pulleys. Have you ever considered how a single tight muscle can alter how your entire body moves? Muscles never work in isolation. They work in opposing pairs. One pulls and the other stabilizes, requiring a perfect balance of give and take to move smoothly. Now, when one muscle pulls too hard, it throws the whole skeletal system out of alignment. And when one piece is out of alignment, the whole body suffers. The secret to fixing it could be just rubbing that sore part, treating the localized pain. But it often involves re-educating the brain so each muscle works in alignment. Now, this physical truth mirrors a spiritual reality. We are the body of Christ. For the church to stay strong, aligned, and injury-free, every single part must function as it was designed. When we lose sight of this alignment with God or each other, the whole system suffers. True health happens when we let the Holy Spirit renew our minds, ensuring every joint, lever, and pulley works together to fulfill his purpose. Now, in the last few messages from Ephesians, Paul has been building our understanding of how we function as the body of Christ. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, we are told to be filled with the Spirit. And then in verse 21, we were shown the importance of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Last week, Andrew focused on God's healthy design for marriages. And in our passage today, Paul isn't just giving a random list of family rules. He continues to address the opposing pairs, showing us how to balance our roles so that the whole body of Christ stays strong, aligned, and injury-free. He shows how this applies in our homes and our workplaces. Now, none of us have this fully figured out. As I share today, please know that I am learning right alongside you. Today, we're going to be looking at children and the concepts of obedience and honouring, We see that parents are directed not to exasperate their children or provoke them, but instead to bring them up in the training, instruction and disciplining of the Lord. We're going to uncover some potential challenges from our own upbringings and look at slavery and the lessons of that for the workplace. And finally, we'll focus on our roles within the body of Christ. I hope you can get some practical ideas that you can apply in your life while being empowered by the Holy Spirit. To understand the impact of Paul's words, we need to start by understanding what life was like in the Roman Empire at that time. A Roman father had power over his children. He could legally sell his children into slavery, exploit them for labour, force or dissolve their marriages, or execute them without a trial. A father had great power, and there was a great imbalance of power. So when Paul writes this letter of Ephesians to the church living in that time, he looks past the all-powerful fathers and he speaks directly to the children, addressing them as valuable. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Obey is translated from the Greek word huparkuēti, derived from hupa, under, and akuo, meaning to hear, meaning to listen under, to submit under someone's voice. It implies an attentive readiness to heed authority. Now, Paul groups mothers and fathers together as parents, elevating the status of mothers in this Greco-Roman society, where fathers usually dominated. He commands children to show equal honour and obedience to both parents. Now, the phrase "in the Lord" serves as both a motivation and the boundary for a child's obedience. By submitting to parental authority, the child is ultimately serving and trusting Jesus. Jesus, who placed parents in charge of their protection and guidance. No human authority is absolute. In the Lord means that a child is obligated to obey within the boundaries of God's moral law. If a parent demands a child to lie, to steal, or participate in something that's sinful, the child's higher allegiance belongs to God. In Acts 5, verse 29, the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Now, children who are still living under the roof, care and financial dependency of their parents are under their authority. However, Scripture shows us that this under relationship changes when a person becomes an adult or establishes their own independent household or marries. As we saw last week, Genesis 2 verse 24 commands a man to leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. You cannot fully leave a household if you are still required to listen under the everyday rules. Therefore, obedience has a natural biblical expiration date. Offspring don't remain under direct authority of their parents forever. However, in the next verse, Paul quotes from the Ten Commandments when he says, "Honour your father and mother." Let's look at the Ten Commandments. The first three commandments tell us how to relate to God. The fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath day holy, tells us how to honour God and be refreshed. This fifth commandment acts as a bridge. Parents are the very first representatives of authority and care. And God uses our relationship with our parents as a starting point to show us how to relate to others, which is the theme of the last five commandments. So in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word which has been translated honour is kavad, which means heavy or weighty. Now, to honour parents means to give their position weight and importance, rather than treating their presence, their sacrifices or advice as light, cheap or insignificant. Now, in the New Testament, the word honour is translated from the Greek word tima, and that means to value, prize or treat as precious. Now, a young child honours their parents through obedience, while an adult child continues to honour their parents through respect, care and support. You can never outgrow the duty to value the people who gave you life. Adult children can biblically honour their parents through practical actions as they navigate this transition. So some ways to honour your parents: care and financial support. Well, historically and biblically, honouring parents implied ensuring they were fed and sheltered in their old age. Respectful dialogue. Honouring parents means actively seeking their wisdom, listening to their life perspective, and valuing their input before making big major choices, even if you ultimately choose a different path. Protecting their legacy and reputation means speaking respectfully about them and choosing to forgive their flaws. And setting healthy boundaries protects the new family unit while treating parents with persistent kindness and dignity. Applying this command to honour parents becomes incredibly difficult if a parent is abusive, manipulative, or toxic. We talked earlier about muscle groups, and when a muscle is severely damaged or torn, specialists do not force it to bear a heavy load right away. Doing so would destroy the rest of the body's alignment. Instead, they isolate it, protect it, and carefully regulate its movement. Honouring a toxic parent works the same way. You need to take care not to be pulled out of alignment. Instead, let the Holy Spirit heal your heart so that you can interact with them from a position of spiritual and emotional safety. Adult children can navigate these painful situations using several biblical and practical strategies. Firstly, distinguish forgiveness from trust. Scripture commands us to forgive, which means releasing our right for revenge and letting go of bitterness. However, you may need to accept the painful reality that they may never be the healthy parents that you deserve. Forgiveness does not mean instant reconciliation or automatic trust. Trust must be earned back over time. Set clear, firm boundaries. In the physical body, a joint is only healthy because ligaments tightly limit its range of motion. So when we use our arm, you know, we can't just bend it back forever. Boundaries are not unchristian. They are structural safety features. They protect your own household while still offering a path for a respectful relationship. Honouring through truth, not enablement. Allowing a parent to continue abusive, addictive, or destructive behaviour without consequences is not honouring them. And finally, seek wise counsel. Navigating complex family trauma requires support. If you are dealing with deeply broken family dynamics, speaking to a Christian counsellor can provide tailored guidance on how to love a difficult parent without sacrificing your own mental, emotional, or spiritual well-being. So the command, honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. When Paul gives the command to obey and honour parents, he begins by addressing children of the church as a collective group. The health of the whole community relies on everyone playing their part. But God's blueprint operates on two levels. When the entire community keeps this alignment, the whole society thrives. But even if those around you pull things out of alignment and throw relationships out of whack, God's promises remain personal. If you choose to let the Holy Spirit reset your tension and show honour, it will go well with you personally. Now, if you want to destroy a community, a city, or an entire nation, you don't need to invade it with an army. You don't need to collapse its economy. And you don't even need to pass any radical new laws. The enemy knows that all you need to do is to step inside its homes and fracture the relationships between parents and children. Paul knew that the home was the foundation of society. He speaks to fathers, telling them, "Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Other translations say, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them." Christian theologians and psychologists have identified several consistent parental behaviours that violate this command. Favouritism. Favouritism is showing a clear bias toward one sibling over another. And historically, this mirrors the biblical story of Jacob favouring Joseph, which we know provoked his brothers to anger. Hypocrisy and double standards is demanding a high moral standard for the child while living a compromised life themselves. Children have a built-in radar that detects hypocrisy. Double standards can breed deep cynicism and anger. Unrealistic or perfectionist expectations make a child feel they can never be good enough to earn the approval of their parents. And they can eventually give up and become resentful. Cruelty and verbal abuse, such as using cutting words, sarcasm, and public humiliation as a tool to control, breaks a child's spirit rather than building their character. An inconsistency where parents punish an action one day and then ignore it the next, depending on their mood. When boundaries are constantly changing, a child lives in perpetual anxiety, which can eventually turn into anger. Ephesians 6 was written to an ancient church community, but its relationship principles translate directly into complex modern family structures. In blended families, demanding immediate strict obedience from a stepchild often backfires and violates the command not to provoke them. Wise step-parents recognise that trust must be built first, so they earn the right to be honoured through consistent love, patience, and fairness. While foster and adoptive children are not biological offspring, they are legally and spiritually placed under the parents' care in the Lord. These parents and guardians must navigate this command not to provoke to anger with extreme sensitivity, knowing that past trauma, neglect, and broken attachments mean these children require immense patience, clear boundaries, and trauma-informed care. Fathers are told to bring up their children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Some versions say discipline and instruction. I think this is good advice for fathers and mothers. The Greek word nuthesia is translated as instruction. It comes from two words, nous, meaning the mind, and tathemi, to place. So it literally means to place in the mind or to impart wisdom directly into the thinking process of another person. Now, unlike physical discipline, nuthesia focuses on verbal training. It involves counsel, warning, and gentle reminders designed to correct a wrong mindset before it manifests as a wrong action. It's driven by care, not condemnation. Now, understanding the difference between discipline and punishment is vital for understanding how to bring children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, punishment usually involves a penalty for being out of alignment. It focuses on the past and inflicts penalty for a wrong that's been committed. Whereas biblical discipline is restorative training, derived from the root word disciple, which means a learner, and it focuses on the future and how to train correct and mature behaviour. Punishment is often driven by anger, frustration, or a desire for control, and it can often isolate and shame the child. Whereas biblical discipline is driven by love, patience, and a desire to help the child succeed. It corrects the behaviour while affirming the relationship. Punishment can make a child feel rejected and penalised for past failures. And enforcing behaviour control through fear or pain is often the goal of punishment. Whereas biblical discipline wants to make the child feel safe and loved, even when they make mistakes. So to retrain and teach the child how to move forward correctly in faith is the goal of biblical discipline. Since biblical discipline is forward-focused rather than stuck in the past, it seeks to build lasting stability. This training is beautifully illustrated by author Ted Tripp's concept of keeping our kids within the circle of safety. This structural boundary of Ephesians 6 verses 1 to 4, where children remain under healthy parental authority and they are positioned to receive God's protection and blessing. Now, to help children stay inside that circle without fracturing the relationship, we can visualise a child's development as a V-shaped pathway. A young child needs high parental control, clear boundaries, and limited choices to feel secure. They don't yet have the mental or spiritual muscle to handle unsupervised freedom. However, as a child grows and becomes more responsible, the boundaries extend and the parent must progressively allow more independent choices and guided freedom. Now, exasperation happens if parents restrict the children's natural growth, creating a friction. True discipline adapts moving parents from the protective manager of a toddler to the coaching partner of a young adult. So what does this look like in practice? Well, for a toddler, parents need to narrow the choices so they don't overwhelm the child. So instead of asking, what do you want to wear today, the green shirt or the blue shirt? That makes it easier than saying, what do you want to wear today? When a child has no idea what's appropriate in the weather or for the particular occasion. For a teenager, parents need to step back and give them responsibility rather than forcing obedience. This allows them to make decisions on their own and gives them the permission to make mistakes as they learn. Now, most of us like to believe that we are fully in control of our reactions, our choices, and our parenting styles. But the truth is, many of us are still being governed by an invisible script written for us decades ago in our childhood homes. Even the most well-meaning parents can accidentally pull too hard, leaving us with childhood wounds that still impact our lives today and our alignment. This is amplified for children who grew up in abusive or broken homes. Now, in the family, parents and children are like opposing muscle groups. If one side dominates, the whole structure can suffer a painful injury. And just like a damaged joint, special treatment is required. Ephesians 6 gives us a blueprint for breaking the cycle. When parents choose to guide their children with grace instead of fear and manipulation, they can heal generational wounds and build a legacy of love. Adults who grew up with broken childhood attachments carry deep emotional wounds into parenthood. Without healing, they tend to parent from two dysfunctional extremes. They can copy their childhood experience and rule with force, but this offers no relational safety, repeating the cycle that broke their own spirit. The other extreme is an overcorrection of their own experience. So to avoid being like their own parents, they abandon all boundaries and discipline and become overly permissive. Now, to stop these toxic generational cycles, adult children must experience true freedom in Christ. Exposing the hidden guilt and grieving the loss of a safe childhood prevents those hidden hurts from erupting as unexplainable anger towards children. Embracing God as the ultimate parent allows us to experience his unconditional love, the healing of deep wounds, and gives us a new identity as a child of God. True freedom in Christ means that as an adult, we no longer let our childhood script write our household script. Building a new legacy of grace involves realizing children's misbehavior is not an attack on our authority because we are firmly anchored in God. So if children do something that upsets you and hurts you, we have to make sure that ourself, our wholeness is in God so that we are not irritated by them not keeping with our authority. Now, the structure of the Christian family is designed to be a living object lesson of the gospel. The roles of parents and children model God's authority and care for us. When parents provide protection, love, provision, and stable boundaries, they make it easier for a child to understand and trust their Heavenly Father. Hebrews 12 verse 6 says, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves." Just as godly parental discipline aims to mature a child, God allows trials, boundaries, and corrections to shape believers into Christ-like maturity. Immediately following his words on parenting, Paul addresses another highly sensitive ancient dynamic, slaves and masters. Is that even relevant for us today? On Thursday, in a local news article, I saw the headline, "Underpayment, a red flag for modern slavery." Perhaps it's more relevant than we realise. Roman slaves were legally classified as property, and they were completely devoid of rights. Paul's instructions to this group were socially explosive. "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ." He tells slaves that Jesus is their true master and reminds them that their human owners do not possess them or their souls or their ultimate identity. He tells masters to treat slaves with respect and not threaten them. Now, at the foot of the cross, Paul resets the tension of this toxic social structure, bringing both groups back into perfect balanced alignment. The underlying theological principles apply directly to today's workplace culture and everyday structures of authority. When you're at work, your attitude should not be directed, it should not be dictated by how much you like your boss or how much you're being paid. Your daily work, whether it's writing code, cleaning floors, or managing accounts, is an offering to Jesus. This frees you from working for human approval and gives you a deep, stable sense of purpose. If you manage people, own a business, or hold structural authority over others, you are accountable to God for how you treat them. True Christian leadership models humility, ensuring those under you are safe, respected, fairly compensated, and valued. Now, whether we're talking about parents and children or bosses and employees, God's blueprint for human relationships relies on a delicate balance of opposing forces. If one side pulls too far and demands too much or refuses to yield, the entire structural alignment of the community collapses and everyone suffers. We can all look back on our lives and identify areas of pain. We all carry unique wounds, imbalances, and scar tissue from childhood experiences and workplace trauma, regardless of how well-meaning the people around us were. But remember the medical truth we started with. The secret to fixing alignment isn't just treating the localised pain, it's re-educating the brain. If you try to fix your broken relationships, your resentment, or your family dysfunction using your own willpower, you are just rubbing a sore muscle. You will not change the underlying patterns. You need a reset. We need to step into the clinic of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to renew our mind. Let Him reset your resting tension. Let Him heal the old injuries of past abuse. Let Him show you where you are pulling too hard in pride and where you are failing to stabilise in honour. If we allow King Jesus to act as the head of our corporate body, every joint, every lever and every pulley will finally work together in perfect harmony, fulfilling his magnificent purpose. Let's take a moment to consider, what did God say to me today? And what will I do with what I have heard? Let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word provides us with answers to the daily challenges that we face. Jesus, thank you that you made a way for us to live together in perfect harmony. Please give us grace to live in right alignment today. Holy Spirit, we invite you to renew our minds and heal past hurts. Guide us to value others as we live to fulfill your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'd like to remind you that there'll be prayer available here. Some teams will come up. If you come today wanting prayer or something that's spoken to you today and you'd like to have someone pray with you about it. If you have a need for physical healing, children will come in and are happy to pray for you on this side over here. We were told earlier that there's a newcomer's lunch today. So if this is your first time or you've been coming for a while and haven't managed to come to one of those, we'd love to have you join us. Hot and cold drinks are available from the servery in the foyer, so you're invited to grab a drink or just spend some time connecting with others. Please make the most of the opportunity to be encouraged. Let's finish with a benediction from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.